RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia and Myanmar continue to focus cooperation to Rakhine State. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Indian Ocean is the future ocean. The implementation of IRA Business Summit to achieve equitable economic growth in the Indian Ocean Rim region. Now the news in details. The bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Myanmar, which are represented by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and National Security Advisor of Myanmar, Tong Tun, on March 6, 2017, in a series of IRA agenda to produce a conclusion in the form of assistance and cooperation to improve the issue of discrimination which occurred in Rakhine State. Related to the case, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that the assistance that will be given by Indonesia to Myanmar will be concentrated mainly in the sector of economic development.
So we will continue our cooperation again to solve the issue in Rakhine State and to develop especially the economic development in Rakhine State in an inclusive way. And we discuss some possible cooperation, including the interfaith dialogue. Because the interfaith dialogue will be very useful, will be very important for the grassroots level, for the community.
Retno Marsudi also stated that the approach is considered to be very useful, considering the issue of discrimination which occurred in Rakhine State could not be separated from their different beliefs. Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or unity in diversity, which is rooted in Indonesia, is the thing that has been believed to be able to inspire Myanmar, which is facing the issue of the differences. President Joko Widodo opened Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA Business Summit on Monday, March 6, 2017. The event is part of IORA Summit held at Jakarta Convention Center in Southern Jakarta. In his speech, the president said the Indian Ocean is very potential and could be the future of world's economy.
Dan saya mencatat bahwa setengah dari perjalanan kontainer adalah lewat Samudra Hindia.
Half of the container journey in the world is through the Indian Ocean. The second to third midnight flight light energy is through the Indian Ocean. Third, 2.7 billion people live in the region of Indian Ocean. Therefore, the Indian Ocean is the future ocean and the future of the world's economy in this region. Therefore, Indonesia would like to strengthen maritime shaft to be connected with IORA.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also invited business people from member countries of IORA to create solutions for business challenges. After giving the speech, the president beat a gong to open IORA Business Summit officially. IRA Business Summit is the part of IRA Summit which is held in Jakarta from March 5 to 7, 2017. IRA Business Summit, which was attended directly by President Joko Widodo as one of the main speakers, was followed by business people and the representative from Chambers of Commerce and Industry of each member countries of IRA. The agenda of IRA Business Summit began with an opening speech by the Indonesian Minister of Trade, Enggartias Tolukita. He said that IRA actually has a population that grows rapidly and offers great potentials in terms of trade and investment. Unfortunately, he continued, there are economic inequalities between developing countries and less developed countries of IRA region.
Sebenarnya kawasan ini masa depan ekonomi dunia ada di sini.
Actually, the future world economy is available here. More than 2.7 billion population from the region, we admitted that 95% of trade in this region was occupied by Australia, India, Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, and South Africa. So there is a gap between the semi-developed countries and least developed countries.
Therefore, he continued, the goal of the business summit is to prepare a draft of joint declaration of IRA business community in order to promote equitable and sustainable economic growth. The elements of the joint declaration has been discussed and finalized in the same day and will be reported to the leaders of IRA countries on March 7, 2017. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with the Deputy Minister of the United Arab Emirates, Dr. Maita Shalim Al-Shamsi, on the sidelines of IRA Summit 2017 in Jakarta on Monday, March 6, 2017. After the meeting, Minister Retno said that they discussed about the efforts to increase cooperation between the two countries in political and security, economic and socio-cultural sectors. In January, Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates has signed a cooperation in renewable energy sector. Because the United Arab Emirates has done a lot of diversification of energy, they not only use fossil fuel, but also have diversified energy. Therefore, the energy and renewable energy is a priority of cooperation between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. Minister Retno Marsudi further explained, Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates have signed a Memorandum of Understanding in combating human trafficking in September 2015. The cooperation in the exchange of intelligence information in the form of cooperation that can be explored. Retno Marsudi also asked support of the United Arab Emirates for Indonesia's nomination as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the 2019-2020 period. Both countries agreed to make efforts to improve trade and investment. This is because the number of trade and the value of investment between the two countries tend to decrease in the last few years. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with her counterpart Foreign Minister of the Comoros Union, Mohamed Bakar Tosar, during the break of IRA Summit 2017 in Jakarta on Monday, March 6, 2017. After the meeting, Minister Retno said in the last few years, there was a significant rise in bilateral relations between Indonesia and the Comoros Union. In 2016, more than 20% rise figure in trade relations between Indonesia and the Comoros Union. According to her, this is a good sign for the bilateral relation between the two countries. Minister Retno explained, the Comoros Minister of Foreign Affairs Mohamed Bakar Tosar has submitted an agreement that reflects the commitments to boost cooperation between the two countries and will hold joint commission meeting.
And then we discuss also about products that has the potential, both products from Comoros to Indonesia as well as from Indonesia to Comoros.
Retno Marsudi further explained, Indonesia has invited to Comoros Union in Indonesian Africa Forum in 2018 to improve the relationship between Indonesia and the African private sector. Indonesia has also invited the Comoros Union to attend the Indonesian African Maritime Dialogue of Maritime in 2018. On the same occasion, Minister Mohamed Bakar Tosar explained, Comoros is a small country with 1 million population. The Comoros Union is a Muslim country that lies between Eastern Africa and Madagascar. According to her, there are many opportunities for Indonesia and the Comoros Union to enhance cooperation in various sectors. The spokesman of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, stated that an Indonesian citizen was detained by Malaysian police on February 21, 2017, on the sidelines of IRA Summit 2017 on Monday, March 7, 2017. Armanata told the journalists that the man was arrested due to his relation with some groups which planned to carry out acts of terror in Malaysia. On March 1, 2017, the Indonesian embassy to Malaysia has gained consular access. The Indonesian citizen had entered Malaysia in mid-February and plans to go to Syria.
Tentunya KBRI kita telah memberikan pendampingan
Surely the Indonesian embassy has provided assistance. If the person needs a legal assistance, we will certainly be there with a lawyer. According to the plan, the Malaysian police will protest the person who carries out terror there. Arman Atanasir further explained that the investigative process is still running and Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has a fixed procedure for Indonesian citizens who have law problems. The Indonesian embassy has contacted the family of the terrorist suspect and also stated that the suspect is in good condition. Last item. The Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA Summit that is held for the first time has brought the official of its member states to meet each other. On the sidelines of the event, a bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Oman was held. Indonesia was represented by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, and Oman was represented by Prime Minister Dr. Yahya bin Mahfuz Mundiri. After the meeting, when Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated that Indonesia will hold the cooperation relation both in economic, petroleum, and education fields.
Dia bicara hubungan Indonesia dan Oman dan situasi Timur Tengah tentunya.
We surely talk about the relationship between Indonesia and Oman and, of course, Middle East situation. Because in the Middle East, especially Oman, is a very peaceful country. Yemen, although it is very hard, but it can control the country. That's why we still hold good relations of economic cooperation. Oman also has a little infestation here, which related to the oil sector. Medco also works in Oman and also cooperate in the education sector. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla also said that the Medco Energy International TBK also operates in Oman. The company is a private company which runs in the oil and gas drilling service on land, onshore drilling, since 1980s. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener commentary today entitled The Second Round of Jakarta Regional Election Begins. The first round of Jakarta regional head election to choose the new governor and deputy governor, which was held February 15, 2017, ran smoothly and safely. The number of voters listed in the fixed voter list at the first round of Jakarta election was around 7.1 million. Based on the result of the vote count recapitulation in Jakarta provincial level on 26 February, of the three pairs of candidates who participated in the Jakarta elections, two pairs had managed to move to the next round. The result shows that Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono and Silvia Murni pair gained approximately 17.05% of the vote. Basuki Cahayapurnama Jarod Saiful Hidayat pair got 42.99% of the vote. And pair Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno gained 39.95% of the vote. So the pair of Basuki Cahayapurnama, Jarod Saiful Hidayat, and Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno have the right to vote to the second round of Jakarta election. The General Election Commission, KPU, in Jakarta on Saturday, March 4, 2017, formally decided two pairs of candidates to run for the second round of Jakarta election. The Commission has also set March 7 to April 15, 2017 as the time for both Governor and Deputy Governor candidates to hold campaigns. Like the first round of the election, in this second round, Jakarta General Election Commission will organize candidate debate once. Many lessons can be learned from the first round of Jakarta regional elections. It is estimated that the political climate in Jakarta, which had been cooling down the first round election, will be reheated in the second round of election campaign, which will take place on 7 March to 15 April 2017. Many shortages that occur in the first round of the election are expected not to be repeated. For example, many voters who lost their rights to vote due to lack of ballot papers, less accurate data of the fixed voters, and so on. The issue on ethnicity, religion, race and groups, or SARA, which has made the first round of the elections heated, is expected not to happen again in the second round of the regional elections. Every governor and vice governor candidate, as well as political parties supporting the candidates and their sympathizers, should be wiser in conducting campaigns and avoid the smear campaign that will be detrimental not only to their opponents, but also the candidates who they support. The purpose of the election is to choose the governor and deputy governor of Jakarta for the next 5 years. Jakarta residents should be able to accept whoever elected as the governor and deputy governors who will lead Jakarta. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History. Let's begin with March 7, 1967. The Provisional People's Consultative Assembly revoked the mandate of First President Sukarno. Sukarno, who was born in Blitar, East Java on June 6, 1901, is Indonesia's first president who served during the period 1945 to 1966. He played an important role to liberate Indonesia from Dutch colonial rule. He's also the one who set Indonesia's national philosophy, Pancasila. He proclaimed the independence of Indonesia together with Muhammad Hatta on August 17, 1945. Sukarno signed the decree of March 11, 1966, based on the version issued by the Army Headquarters, which commissioned Lieutenant General Suharto to secure and maintain the security of the country and the institution of the presidency. It was the basis for Lieutenant General Suharto to dissolve the Communist Party of Indonesia and replace its members who sit in Parliament. After being rejected by the Provisional People's Consultative Assembly at a public hearing on March 7, 1967, Sukarno was dismissed from his post as president during the special session of the People's Consultative Assembly. In the same year, Suharto was appointed acting president of the Republic of Indonesia. Sukarno died in Jakarta June 21, 1970, at the age of 69 years old. Over now to March 7, 1969, Golda Meir becomes the first female prime minister of Israel. On March 7, 1969, Golda Meir became the Prime Minister of Israel. She is the first woman to lead the Jewish state. Golda Meir won the support of 287 members of the Central Committee of the Labour Party, then in power. The 70-year-old former foreign minister was appointed as the new Prime Minister, replacing Levi Eshkol, who died of a heart attack. Golda Meir rode to the seat of Prime Minister wide open after two closest competitors, Acting Prime Minister Yigal Alon and Defense Minister Moshe Dayan, withdrew from the race. Having served for 7 months, in October 1969, Golda Meir was re-elected as Prime Minister after winning the Israeli election. Unfortunately, Meir's second term was marred with the Arab-Israeli War of 1973, which was much criticized by the citizens of Israel. In 1974, Israel's first female Prime Minister resigned. The last item is from March 7, 2007. Garuda Indonesia skids off the runway at Adi Sucipto Airport, Yogyakarta. Garuda Indonesia Flight GA200 Flight Jakarta, Yogyakarta exploded when stuck while landing on March 7, 2007 at Adi Sucipto Airport in Yogyakarta. The plane was flying from Soekarno-Hatta, Jakarta, carrying 133 passengers, one pilot, one co-pilot, and five crew members. It was also carrying 19 foreign nationals, among others from Japan, Brunei Darussalam, and 8 Australian journalists who were covering the visit of Australian Foreign Minister Alexander Downer in Yogyakarta. Witnesses said the fire was triggered by the explosion of the front tires on landing, so it spread to the fuselage. As a result of the explosions of the plane, 22 passengers were killed. That was Today in History of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with focus entitled Defense Ministry Continues to Socialize State Defense Program. Defense Minister Riambizar Triangkudu visited two figures of Islamic organization Muhammadiyah in Yogyakarta to discuss the realization of Defending the Country program on last Sunday, March 5, 2017. The two leaders are the chairman of the Central Executive Board of Muhammadiyah, Haidar Nasir, and former Muhammadiyah chairman Shafi'i Ma'arif or Buya Shafi. After the meeting, Shafi'i Ma'arif told reporters that the state defense program is a way to fix this nation. It is to make radical mass organization or people realize their mistake, as well as to enforce the law on criminal acts. Shafi'i views that radical groups originated from severe social injustice and inequality. He expressed great expectations to Minister Yamizat in realizing the state defense program. He was worried that it would be misused by radical mass organization. On the same occasion, Minister Yamizat stressed that defending the country is the right and duty of every citizen of Indonesia. Therefore, the preparation, implemented 2 years ago, also involves the Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, National Education Minister, and also Minister of Religious Affairs. Minister Yamizat perceives that there are many ways that can be done for the program, such as training the mass organization or teaching citizens to defend the country from an early age, including scouting activities, which are parts of defending the country. He hopes that this program would make citizens proud of their nation and love their country. Minister Yamizat revealed as defense minister, he often travels to the regions like Yogyakarta, Aceh, and Makassar to promote awareness and understanding on the defense of the country. There are many people who have followed the program. He said that there are already about 70 million citizens who have followed the state defense program. Earlier on February 28, 2017, the defense minister Yamizat Priyankudo inaugurated the state defense training center in Bogor, West Java. It was built in 2014, covering an area of 21.33 hectares with necessary facilities. That was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Myanmar, which are presented by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, and National Security Advisor of Myanmar, Thong Thun, on March 6, 2017, in a series of IRA agenda to produce a conclusion in the form of assistance and cooperation to improve the issue of discrimination which occurred in Rakhine State. President Joko Widodo opened Indian Ocean Dream Association IRA Business Summit on Monday, March 6, 2017. IRA Business Summit is the part of IRA Summit which is held in Jakarta from March 5 to 7, 2017. IRA Business Summit, which was attended directly by President Joko Widodo as one of the main speakers, was followed by business people and the representative from Chambers of Commerce and Industry of each member countries of IRA. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with the Deputy Minister of the United Arab Emirates, Dr. Maita Salim Al-Shamsi, on the sidelines of IRA Summit 2017 in Jakarta on Monday, March 6, 2017. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with her counterpart Foreign Minister of the Comoros Union, Mohamed Bakar Doksar, during the break of IRA Summit 2017 in Jakarta on Monday, March 6, 2017. The spokesman of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Arman Atanasir, stated that an Indonesian citizen was detained by Malaysian police on February 21, 2017. The Indian Ocean Rim Association IRA Summit that is held for the first time has brought the officials of its member states to meet each other. On the sidelines of the event, a bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Oman was held. Indonesia was represented by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Oman was represented by Prime Minister Dr. Yahya bin Mahfudz Mundiri. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the typical Aceh art. Stay tuned. Listener, that was the trailer of an Aceh typical art performance, namely Rapai Geleng. Recently, the art was appeared to welcome the arrival of Saudi Arabian King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud at the Bogor Palace. The Rapai Geleng dance was chosen as one of the cultural performances in welcoming King Salman because the dance has significant meaning as a form of Islamic religious propagation. Moreover, during the dance, the tambourine players also sing salawat for Prophet Muhammad. Listener, Rapai Geleng is an Acehese ethnic dance from the southern Aceh region, exactly Manggeng, which is now including the Southwest Aceh sub-district. The dance was developed around 1965 by someone who supposedly named Sheikh Ripai, so the dance is called Ripai dance. Some people argued the dance called Rapai Geleng because the dance is usually accompanied by rapai or drum. When the dance lasting, the dancers often shaking his head. So the dance is called Rapai Geleng. In the beginning, Rapai Geleng dance was brought to fill the free time of students after learning time. Then the dance was also used as a means of propaganda and then later become a means of entertainment. The dance was also often showed in the wedding ceremony, circumcision, as well as various performances in welcoming honorary guests. Rapai Geleng dance is usually performed by 12 dancers. This dance was originally danced only by men, but as the time goes by, the dance can also be danced by women separately. While dancing, the dancers wearing a black-yellow costume blends with red beads. They dance with beating of drum while singing. The lyrics is a dissemination to communities about how to live in communities, religions, and solidarity upheld. For the Aceh people, the dance is a religious propagation to instill moral values to people and also explains how to live side by side among the society. Listener, Rapai Geleng dance has three rounds, namely salam or greeting, kisah or story, the story of prophet, king and religious teachings, and lani, the closing. The dance's movements are followed with one by one rhythmic, slowly, then change faster, accompanied by gestures in cross-leg position, swerving to the left and to the right. The rapid movement grow bigger and faster. Basically, the rhythm of the Rapai dance movement only consists in four levels: slow, fast, very fast, and silent. Slow motion describes the message that all actions should be preceded by careful thought process. Then the rapid rhythmic movement describes the protest against all evil. The very fast rhythmic movement indicates chaos becomes the choice in the resistance pattern of the third level, an outcry of resistance when the protest is neglected. All movement was then stopped, including the entire singing lyrics. This is the final movement of the dance. Silent movement is a movement that symbolizes the firmness, the end of all processes of interaction. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Rapai Galeng Dance from Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Edary Word Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is kerja lembur, or in English, working overtime. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Kerja lembur. Kerja lembur. Overtime. Maaf. Maaf, sorry. Hari ini. Hari ini, today. Kita. Kita, we. Pulang. Pulang, to go home. Bersama. Bersama, together. Mengapa? Mengapa? Why? Pulang kantor, after office. Acara, acara, program. Lain, lain, another. Pekerjaan, pekerjaan, work or job. Belum selesai, unfinished. Menyelesaikan, menyelesaikan. To finish, laporan, laporan, report, keuangan, keuangan, financial, minggu depan, next week, pemeriksaan, pemeriksaan, audit, kantor pusat, headquarter, badan pemeriksa keuangan, badan pemeriksa keuangan. Financial Supervisory Body. Next is a conversation on kerja lembur, or in English, working overtime. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Anna. Anna, maaf, hari ini kita tidak bisa pulang bersama. Anna, maaf, hari ini kita tidak bisa pulang bersama. In English, Anna, sorry, today we cannot go home together. Mengapa? Mengapa? Why? Apakah pulang kantor kamu ada acara lain? Apakah pulang kantor kamu ada acara lain? Do you have anything to do or another program after office? Tidak, hari ini saya harus kerja lembur. Tidak, hari ini saya harus kerja lembur. No, today I have to work overtime. Mengapa? Apakah pekerjaan kamu belum selesai? Mengapa? Apakah pekerjaan kamu belum selesai? Why? Haven't you finished your work? Ya, saya harus menyelesaikan laporan keuangan. No, I have to finish the financial report. Minggu depan akan ada pemeriksaan. Next week, there will be an audit. Apakah pemeriksaan dari kantor pusat? Is it from the headquarters? Bukan. Akan ada pemeriksaan dari badan pemeriksa keuangan. No, there will be an inspection from the financial supervisory body. Baiklah kalau begitu saya pulang sendiri. It's okay then. I'll go home by myself. Selamat bekerja. Keep on the good work. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are, welcome back to The Regular Music, a musical segment which introduces you to an Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present a dangdut music, so stay tuned.
Jaga matamu dan pandanganmu, jangan memandangku penuh bernafsu. Jaga lidahmu dan ucapanmu, jangan merayu-rayu tak bermutu. Jaga matamu dan pandanganmu, jangan memandangku penuh bernafsu. Jaga lidahmu dan ucapanmu, jangan merayu. Jagalah juga tanganmu itu, jangan memegang-megang badanku, jagalah juga tanganmu itu, jangan menjauhil-jauhil,
jangan.
Jaga matamu dan pandanganmu, jangan memandangku penuh bernafsu. Jaga lidahmu dan ucapanmu, jangan merayu-rayu tak bermutu. Jaga matamu dan pandanganmu, jangan memandangku penuh bernafsu. Jaga lidahmu dan ucapanmu, jangan merayu-rayu tak mutu. Jagalah juga tanganmu itu. Jangan memegang-megang badanku. Jagalah juga tanganmu itu. Jangan menjauhil-jauhil.
You have just listened to a song entitled "Age," sung by Virus, taken from her new single. The song was recently released in December 2016 and tells the story of love, where women cannot always be conquered with money. The song, which is pop dangdut genre, was composed by the king of dangdut, Roma Irama. Not only creating dangdut song, Roma Irama also directed in making process of a video clip for the Edge song. The video clip of the song was created with a modern concept to be more readily accepted by dangdut lovers in the country. Although the Edge song is created in dangdut pop genre, but the theme of the video music is Broadway. The theme of Broadway was chosen because Virus hope the music can be accepted by music lovers in the country and to bring the dangdut song familiarly known the international world. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cintaku by Virus. Enjoy the song.
Cintaku terbang bersama sang bayu, menembus awan di langit yang biru. Begitu juga cintaku untukmu, sayang aku takkan pernah ragu. Aku salut pada sang pencipta, kita tercipta di dunia tuh saling mencinta. Dimana aku menginjakan kaki, di situ aku teringat padamu. Selama darahku masih mengalir, takkan hilang wanginya nafasmu. Datanglah kau kemari padaku, sebagai pengobat rindu. Izinkan aku untuk menciummu sekali seumur hidupku. Syukurlah kalau kau mendengarku. Cintaku abadi selalu.
Aku pun rindu seperti dirimu. Kalau tak percaya belah dadaku. Berjuta rasa cintaku padamu. Sekarang cepat ciumlah. Datanglah kau kemari padaku, seolah bagai pengobat rindu. Izinkan aku untuk menciummu sekali seumur hidupku. Syukurlah kalau kau mendengarku, pastilah ku kan bahagia selalu. Ku takkan mau berpisah denganmu.
Fairuz Ahmad Rafiq began her career as a TV series drama or sinetron. Successfully as sinetron player, she then followed her father's career, Arafik, as a dangdut singer. Fairuz came to dangdut music industry cannot be separated from the support of the father, who is a senior dangdut singer in the country. Thanks to the support of her father, she launched her first single in 2011 entitled My Love. Arafik, not only as a composer, but he also singing accompanied her daughter in the song. Although in pain condition, Arafik provided exceptional support to his daughter. The song Cintaku tells about eternal love and has rock-dut music genre. The rock music nuance is felt throughout the song. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner today, let's listen to the song entitled Pengalaman Pertama by Fairuz featuring Miladia. The song was released in 2013, which was actually a recycle of Arafik song with the same self-titled, namely Pengalaman Pertama, of course, with different shades. Together with Miladian, the band from Pekanbaru Riau, Fairuz tried to make the best concept for the song Pengalaman Pertama. The music of the song was entirely done by Miladian. Pengalaman Pertama tells about first experience of falling in love. Well, listener, let's listen to the last song entitled Pengalaman Pertama by Fairuz. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bye. kita jaga di batas bening jiwa yang kita cipta bersama. Oh, dalam detik penuh bahagia telah ku coba untuk meresapi satu yang terbaik untuk dirimu kini. Oh, sebuah kisah yang telah kita rajut terukir untuk kita jaga di batas bening jiwa yang kita cipta bersama.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.